Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Welcome back to Backbone Radio. Jimmy Sangenberger sitting in for Ross Kaminsky here on AM 710 KNUS in Denver, 1460 KZNT in Colorado Springs, and on the web at 710knus.com. Give me a call if you'd like to join into the festivities here. The number is 303-696-1971. And also, if during the show or after the show you'd like to shoot me an email, you can do so at jimmy@sangcenter.com. That's Jimmy at Sang, just like you just sang a song, sangcenter.com, which happens to be the official podcast website for my own radio program, which broadcasts live Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on the web at krcx.org. I'm pleased now to bring on to the program Matt Arnold, who, of course, is probably a familiar voice to many of our listeners right now. He spearheaded the valiant Clear the Bench Colorado effort in the last election, trying to oust the four unjust justices on the Supreme Court. It ended up being three. He managed to secure more no votes, about 40%, than any time in history, which is fairly impressive. Matt Arnold, welcome to Backbone Radio. Good to have you here.
Jimmy, thanks for having me back on.
So we've just been talking about this Senate Bill 200 and House Bill 200, trying to establish health insurance exchanges here in the state. Before I get to the El Paso controversy, what's your take on this proposal put forth by Representative Amy Stevens, the House Majority Leader?
Well, the largest concern I have with SB 200 is the fact that it facilitates an unconstitutional federal law. It is, in a way, implementing the healthcare exchange mandate portion of that law. And I think for that reason, it undermines the policy, actually the stated policy of Colorado in challenging that law in federal court. And it also runs counter to the very recent action of the House of Representatives in Congress to defund the health care exchange portion of the law separately. So you really have two initiatives going one direction, and SB 200 goes in the exact opposite direction, and I think contrary to the Constitution.
I agree, and it certainly undermines the overall systemic efforts going on right now to try to reel in Obamacare. I want to actually go to the phones right now where we have Amy, not Representative Amy Stevens, but Amy is on the line wanting to chime in a little bit about health care. Amy, welcome to Backbone Radio with Jimmy Sangenberger sitting in for Ross.
Hi, thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
You know, I believe that we should be proactive as Republicans, and if we don't do something, the feds will in 2014. And this is an opportunity for us to be on the forefront of it, so we get to choose what type of health care we want in Colorado, not the feds.
Matt, and,
go ahead.
You could finish your point.
Oh, and it also makes me angry that people are attacking Amy when she's trying to bring free market health care to Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Matt Arnold, is this an issue of free market health care versus the alternative of the federal government coming in and creating this exchanges if we don't implement something by 2014?
Well, I think reasonable people can disagree on whether or not Colorado should be taking on the issue of health care. I think reasonable people can also disagree on whether or not this bill and the healthcare exchanges is the way to go at it. I don't think it is. And the thing that troubles me most about this, I don't agree with the argument that, well, we have to do it to ourselves before the federal government does it to us. It reminds me of nothing so much as the scene from Blazing Saddles where the sheriff points a gun at his head and says, "One move," and the pejorative ethnic appellation deleted gets it. You know, that seems to be the argument, and I think it's a better approach to fight injustice, to fight this federal overreach, to fight this federal mandate being imposed upon the states rather than preemptively surrender. Last I checked, Colorado is not France, and I would prefer to see Coloradans stand up, exhibit some backbone, since we're on Backbone Radio, and fight this bill.
Mm-hmm. Amy, what do you make, though, about the argument that I put out? And I agree with what Matt said, and I do think that reasonable minds can differ on this issue, most certainly. But what do you make of the argument that time and time again, what conservatives have done over the years in terms of let's say, a number of different programs at the federal level, as well as state level in various states, have really ceded ground to those who are on the left who would be advocating big government programs by saying, okay, you know, they're going to do this anyway, so why not go ahead and just make our own version of this? Instead of fighting it, I think in the long term, you undermine that effort because you cede that ground and allow government to grow bigger and bigger.
You know, the time has passed where Republicans get to set the agenda here in Colorado. And our majority in the House is so slim, we have a split state House right now, where I think Republicans are sticking their head in the sand if we believe that we get to set the agenda. We don't get to set the rules of the game right now. And so if we can still mitigate the damages by having one of the branches at the state house, then let's use that to our advantage. If we came forward with something that was totally radical, it wouldn't pass the Senate. It certainly wouldn't go across the governor's desk.
But that's that's a completely false dichotomy. I agree with that. There's no way that the Republicans can completely set the agenda, but it's a completely different thing to say, well, since we can't set the agenda, let's cave and go along with the Democrat agenda.
That's what I was going to say as well, Amy, which is, look, why did the Republicans need then to put forth this bill instead of maybe doing nothing? If the Republicans can't set the agenda, then why put forth a bill that cedes ground and implements this in the state?
Because at least we have our hand in it. At least we have our say in it and not give up.
So suicide is better than murder.
Oh, Matt. I mean, I want free market choice here in Colorado with health care. Mm-hmm. And under the current restrictions that we have with Obamacare and what's coming down the pike in 2014, this is an opportunity for us as Republicans to have our say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I applaud Amy and the 13 in the House that voted for it for not sitting back and sticking their head in the sand, which I think is what Republicans have done. And that's how government has gotten so out of control. But this is a way that we have our mark on it, we have controls on it, and it brings free market health care to Colorado.
Amy, I got to let you go here because we got it on the line as well. We have Elliot joining us here on the program. Elliot, you want to chime in some thoughts on this issue of health care and the health insurance exchange debate?
Hi. Sorry, I missed what happened. Would you say something?
Are you on speakerphone, Elliot?
Yeah, one second. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
In reference to your last caller, I think that last caller, although she may have been well-intentioned, the extent she was getting her talking points from Amy Stevens is all too indicative of the problem with the debate on SB 200. Look, SB 200 has its merits, specifically whether or not we should take federal funding. But it does not set up a free market exchange. It does not provide a firewall to Obamacare. And to repeat these mantras that have no basis at all in fact or law is the exact sort of dishonesty that people have become so frustrated with Amy Stevens and her allies. So I'm going to assume the best for that last caller, that she just didn't know what she was saying was incorrect. But the bottom line is what she was saying was factually inaccurate. And furthermore, the fact that she was getting probably the same talking, since she's repeating the same talking points that's coming from the Amy Stevens campaign, it is just a further indication that Amy Stevens does not have enough respect for the grassroots, the liberty, or conservative movement in order to tell the truth on a very controversial bill that may have its own merits.
You know, Matt Arnold, I think Elliot has a great point where if you look at the idea of setting up an exchange that's overseen by the government, established by the government, regulated by the government, that to me is not creating a free market. Creating a free market would be to reel that down, to look at how we can deregulate, how we can get the government off of the backs of private industry so that they can then find more effective ways to do it. If you look at our healthcare system, the problem is too much government, not too little, and a health insurance exchange just creates sort of an artificial market.
I agree with that, and Amy Stevens, to her credit, pointed out in the article you cited earlier what the big cost drivers are with our healthcare in the state. It's the excessive mandates. Unfortunately, this bill does nothing to alleviate those cost drivers. It in fact would codify them and make them a necessary part of these healthcare exchanges. Because remember, again, these healthcare exchanges must follow the directives and mandates passed down by HHS and HHS Secretary Sebelius. So this doesn't open up any options whatsoever. It simply locks us into the same options that the federal government would hand down, just that we happen to be running it. I don't see that our running it under those conditions advances free markets in any way.
Elliot, do you have a final comment here?
I do. I think Matt's one point that he had built in there gives a lie to what the last caller said. If this bill, which doesn't set up an exchange, even if it did set up an exchange, it has to follow the mandates that HHS sets up. So it has to follow the mandates and the directives of HHS and Sebelius. How does this possibly create a firewall to Obamacare? How is this possibly an opportunity to, you know, set our own agenda? It's not. That is the dishonesty that so many people are frustrated with. Just, Amy Stevens, please, just call a spade a spade. Just say that SB 200 was about getting federal funding. It's a legitimate argument, you know, and it's one that we can have. But when you say it's something it's not, you cause people to lose faith in your credibility.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Thanks so much for the call. And if you would like to chime in on any of the topics that we talk about tonight, give me a call, 303-696-1971. I do agree, in a lot of respects, with what Elliot just said, where, you know, I think maybe federal funding is probably a good argument to make as in regards to why this bill really was put forth. I think it's an interesting thought to consider. But also, just thinking about how the Obamacare law is structured and set up, there's nothing free market about it. And by just complying with it in one way or another, you're not really achieving those sorts of objectives that a conservative would want. This is Jimmy Sangenberger sitting in for Ross Kaminsky here on Backbone Radio. When we come back, more with Matt Arnold. We got lots ahead. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere.
Now, back to Backbone Radio.
Welcome back to the Backbone Radio program here on AM 710 KNUS Denver and 1460 KZNT Colorado Springs. Jimmy Sangenberger here with you, sitting in for Ross Kaminsky, who on this Mother's Day is with his own mom. Good for him. Hope he's having a great evening. And hope all of you mothers out there have been having a wonderful Mother's Day. I like to think, my own mother had one today. We are back here in studio with Matt Arnold, who is the director of Clear the Bench Colorado. We've been talking about House Bill and Senate Bill 200 dealing with setting up health insurance exchanges here in the state of Colorado. And I want to get back a little bit to the debate and also the terms of the debate and the idea of standing on principle. As we read earlier, Amy Stevens, the sponsor of this bill, she is the majority leader in the House. She's a Republican, of course, down in House District 20. She said, let's be clear, it's not the conservatives who are opposed to this. I'd say it's more libertarians and other people I view as anarchists and some people in the Tea Party and 912 group. I think there are numerous factors. There's not one answer. Matt Arnold, I find that interesting considering that in 1976 or so, in an interview with Reason Magazine, Ronald Reagan, the conservative stalwart, said, at the heart and soul of conservatism is libertarianism. Does this kind of rhetoric really welcome more people into the big tent that is the Republican Party?
Well, I think it not only doesn't welcome people in, I think it pushes people out. And quite a few self-described conservatives certainly were on the forefront of the opposition to the bill. So I think that it's rather disingenuous for Representative Stevens to say, oh, no conservatives oppose this. You know, that would label the entire Republican caucus in the Senate as non-conservative, which I would take issue with that, and I'm sure many of them would as well. The biggest thing that bugs me about this is the use of the language. You know, have an honest debate. Reasonable people can disagree on that, and that's fine. Our Republican Party should allow reasonable people to disagree on issues as long as we continue to unite around the core principles. And the way this has been pushed has not followed those precepts, and I find that troubling.
Yeah, I think if you're going to put forth any type of position, that if you do so in a respectful way, then it is a respectable position, where if you do so in a way which addresses the policy matters and the policy implications of what you're proposing, that that's the way that you handle a debate like this, not by giving labels such as anarchist and so forth. I mean, if you want to have a debate over whether or not we should have health insurance exchanges here in the state, I think it's a debate that we need to have in light of Obamacare. But I think that this kind of rhetoric is what the American people have been frustrated with in our political climate today. I want to go real quick to the phones where we have a caller on there. Welcome to Backbone Radio. Didn't get your name there, so welcome to the program.
Wonderful to be here. And just for this lady's edification, I'm a conservative. I'm in the Tea Party. And that type of nonsense that you just quoted her as saying, she doesn't sound to me like a conservative at all. I'm extremely disheartened that a conservative would put forward this bill that's basically going to help augment the implementation of Obamacare at the same time that state taxpayers are paying our attorney general to be party to a lawsuit that's going to have this, that starts, I believe, Tuesday in the Court of Appeals, to have this thing declared unconstitutional, which it clearly is, and she wants to go spend money setting up this stuff that would basically support implementation of this unconstitutional overreach by the federal government.
Well,
she's not a conservative.
What do you make, though, of the argument that this is going to happen anyway, therefore we should set it out on our own terms?
That's, well, to me, that's giving up the fight before you get in the ring. This thing has been declared unconstitutional in a federal court. It's going to, you know, work its way through. To me, it makes absolutely no sense to spend money setting up, you know, the infrastructure and the groundwork to implement this thing when there's no guarantee, number one, it's going to ever pass a constitutional review, A, and B, last time I checked, I haven't seen a politician at any level that can't put spending on steroids and throw money down a rat hole in the shortest amount of time possible in case at the last minute we have to put this in.
Thanks so much for the call. Matt, you want to comment?
Well, I think it's a good point. And the thing is even in the testimony, I didn't testify in this bill, but I heard some of the testimony about it. And even the people that voted for it, Representative Ken Summers said, you know, there is no way to tell what will happen with this bill. It kind of reminds me of a certain other leading politician on the national stage that was saying, in relation to the federal bill, we have to pass this bill to find out what's in it. This bill, really all it does is set up a board, an appointed board, which the majority membership will be appointed by Democrats, and really doesn't have a lot of control over what they can do. And so, you know, our experience with unaccountable appointed boards has not been very positive. We've seen that. Obviously, I know a lot about this when it comes to appointing our judges. There is a selection board, which is non-transparent and not accountable to the voters. Then there's the review board, again, not transparent, not accountable to the voters. And then coming up, the process by which we'll drop our state legislative districts is done by a reapportionment commission, again, appointed members not accountable to the public. This is a troubling trend in government where the legislature has been abdicating their responsibilities, handing it over to these commissions, and then throwing up their hands and say, well, yeah, it wasn't our fault. We tried. We had great intentions. We wanted to promote freedom and liberty, but, you know, these darn board members, these commission members, went beyond what we had intended it for them to do. Well, you know, you set them up. You don't give them any restrictions. They are unaccountable to the public and unaccountable to the legislature, and then you act surprised again and again that this keeps happening. It seems to me to be a rather disingenuous approach.
You know, we're going to get to reapportionment and redistricting after the break, but before we do, there was a resolution passed in El Paso County saying because of their prominent position with the party, officers should not publicly oppose a Republican elected official inclusive of their policies whose district in full or part consists of El Paso County. This is a controversy that's brewing down south. What do you make of this particular argument that, okay, you know what, we're going to pass this resolution which says, okay, you should go ahead and not criticize Republican officials like this if you are yourself an elected official?
Well, I think two problems with that. Number one, it betrays a lack of confidence in the power of one's actual argument and position. It's essentially a gag order, and I find that troubling. And again, part of that is it is power politics trying to suppress discussion and suppress debate. That's not what this party stands on. We stand for principle. We should have the courage of our convictions and allow that discussion to go forward.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, if you're in the position of being a Republican Party leader, yes, you have to be careful with what you say in terms of getting involved with primaries and those sorts of things. But when it comes to policy and sticking to principle and abiding by even things that I believe are involved in either the state platform or the statement of principles where we oppose Obamacare, I think you have an obligation to stand up in that regard as well.
96% of the electorate said oppose Obamacare by all legal means.
Certainly true. Jimmy Sangenberger sitting in for Ross Kaminsky here on Backbone Radio. When we come back, we're going to be talking about redistricting and reapportionment. Lots more ahead. Stay with us. You are on 710 KNUS and 1460 KZNT.